The book Crossing Over is the story of the rejection of one woman faced when she left her Amish community and fell in love with a man outside of that community and went on to marry him. Ruth Garrett said, "I was always a little bit of a rebel, and so I was always living on the edge of that community. But I never dreamed the amount of pain that I would experience or the difficulty that I found when I was shunned by everybody I knew and every family member that I had." Rejection. It's a foreboding word, is it not? It has an empty ring to it, yet it is the experience of every person on the face of the earth. Everybody knows in some way or another what it is to be rejected. Rejection may come from a boss. It may come from a peer. It could come from a lover. It might be from a church. It could even be from a stranger that just lets you know by the look when you walk into a place that you're not welcomed in this place whatsoever. Rejection is painful. It hurts. And yet it is the experience, the common experience of life. And so today, as we poke around in the valley of rejection, I want us to talk and find some ways to find peace there. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God that helps us forge a future, regardless of the circumstances of our days. Rejection is a part of life. It is everywhere here in the story of Jesus going home to Nazareth. He's teaching in the synagogue. People at first seem glad to see him. After all, he's one of us. And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" somebody said. "We saw him grow up here. We watched him follow his dad around the carpenter shop. We know this boy. He's one of us, and he's gone out and made quite a name for himself, and now he's come home. He's come back to his very hometown." And Jesus read the scripture for the day, and if he would have stopped there, all would have been well. The problem is he preached a sermon, and preaching can get you into a lot of trouble. And so when he preaches a sermon, suddenly love turns to hate. And acceptance turns to rejection. And jealousy shows up in the midst of the people. And he's chased out of town. And the text says they become furious with him. They just become put out with him in every sense of that word and would have thrown him over the cliff. But Jesus had the power to walk through and go on about his mission. Rejection. Jesus knew what it was like to be rejected. This is not the only time that he's rejected from his friends and family. It seems to happen quite often through the Gospels. They come one day and say, "Come on home. You've been out on the show straying too long. It's time for you to come on back to Nazareth and settle down." And he says, "Who is my father and who is my mother and who are my brothers and who are my sisters?" It calls somebody to say, "If your family doesn't appreciate you, take heart." Jesus faced the same thing in his family. Indeed, he did. He caught the rage of the scribes and the Pharisees, the rulers of his day. Here we are in the middle of Lent, and you can already hear the echoes. "Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. We don't want him. Crucify Jesus. Crucify Jesus. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas." Perhaps John in his gospel, in the prologue to his gospel, says it the best. "He came to his own, and his own received him not." He came to his very own, and his own rejected him. He never owned a home. He never earned a degree. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. Instead, he walked a lonesome valley, and often he walked it all by himself. He was despised and rejected by people. He was acquainted with grief. Hardly the kind of Jesus you hear presented in our day and time with the prosperity gospel when he's given as a hero, the champion. No, the lonesome Christ who walks this valley, who walks it all by himself. So, if that was true of Jesus, why would you expect it to be any different for you? If Jesus experienced rejection, why do you think everybody in the world is going to like you? It's just not that way. We find ourselves feeling inadequate over and over again. John Maxwell, in his book, Winning Attitude, tells about two cows grazing in a pasture when they saw a milk truck go by, and on the side of the milk truck were written these words: pasteurize, homogenize, standardize, vitamin A added, which prompted one of the cows to say to the other, "It makes you feel kind of inadequate, doesn't it, as a cow?" And so there are these moments of life that leaves us feeling inferior and inadequate and unable to measure up. Even our moments of fame pass and go by, and we're named along with many other names. In 2002, Arnold Palmer played his last Masters tournament. He who won the thing in 1958, 1960, 1962, and 1964 played the last round in 2002. A reporter came to him and said, "Why did you quit? You're the champion. You're the hero of golf. Why in the world would you quit at a time like this?" To which Arnold Palmer said, "I wanted to quit before I got the letter. The letter that was sent to Ford and Brewer and Casper and other champions along with me, asking me not to come back anymore. I wanted to quit before I got the letter." And so fame passes, glory seeds, and we find ourselves alone, walking a lonely valley, sometimes the lonely valley of rejection. And whether it's a girl in elementary school who looked at you with disdain when you offered her a Valentine card, or the boss who says you really don't have any place in the new wave of this company that we're developing, rejection is real. It happens. It comes to all of us. And Jesus said to expect it. Jesus said to be ready for it. In fact, he dared to say, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, because rejection has been a part of my life as well as a part of your life. It has come at a cost to us." Which brings me to the one question I want to raise today. And that is, what do you do with the stuff called rejection? If to be rejected is to live, then how do we live with rejection? How do we handle it? I suppose the first response all of us feel when rejected or snubbed in some circumstance of life is to be angry. To be angry at ourselves for having received it, and to be angry at others for having rejected us. Anger is a good first response. Just don't let it last very long, because it can turn to bitterness. It can shape your life. It can kill your life. It can rob you of the joy of living. We would be wise to follow the advice of St. Paul, who said, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your anger." We've got to find a better way than just be mad when people reject us. So I want to suggest four things that you can do with rejection. In the first place, you can avoid self-defeating assumptions. You can refuse to accept that one rejection is the way it's going to be for all time. Some people are just wrong, and their rejection of you is a misrepresentation of who you are. Brilliant British theologian G.K. Chesterton could not read until he was 8 years old. And a teacher said, if his head were to be opened, you'd probably find a lump of fat where there's supposed to be a brain. G.K. Chesterton, one of the finest writers of Christian literature in recent years in the church, one person's opinion of what he knew. Did you realize that a teacher informed Einstein's parents that he probably never amount to anything in life, that he just didn't have it, that he wasn't going to make any difference, just accept it and go on with it. Don't ever take one person's opinion as the wave of the way things are going to be. You deserve a second opinion. And the future need not be what somebody has said about you in the past. In the second place, I would say, don't magnify rejection. Don't make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. Don't internalize it in such a way that you say, well, nobody likes me. Nobody ever did. Nobody ever will. And so I'm just destined to live in this rejected state of mind. If you set out that way, you're probably going to find that to be true. If you go out with a rejecting attitude around you from other people, you're probably going to get rejected in the long run. It's the way it's going to be. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You wind up doing the things that you wish you didn't do because you believe that is who you are. Third place, don't allow rejection to kill your dreams. Don't allow rejection to kill your dreams. The tale of Peter Rabbit was rejected by 7 publishers before it was ever printed. Richard Bach got 20 rejection slips before Jonathan Livingston Seagull was ever published. And Dr. Seuss, good old Dr. Seuss, that every parent has read to every child and grandchild that's come into their contact, got more than 24 rejection slips before the Cat in the Hat ever made it into print. Don't let a rejection kill your dream. It takes persistence to make it in this world. Don't go down with the first slap. Bounce back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. As a disc jockey friend of mine says, I'm going to keep coming back till I get it right. He's been on the air for 30 years, and he's still signing off that way. I'm coming back tomorrow. I'm going to keep coming back till I get it right. And I think that's a great attitude about life. Because we don't always get it right the first time. Which brings me to my fourth point I want to make, that we learn from our rejections. We learn from our rejections. We're not perfect. We don't always get it right the first time. New opportunities and new possibilities arrive. And the question is right, what could I do? What might I do to do it differently? What new opportunities are now here for me? How could I improve? What needs did I fail to meet? How could I go about this thing a different way to bring a different result? Be humble enough to change the way you do things. I ran into a story this week that said the first time Ruth Graham heard Billy Graham preach, she was so sick of it that she could hardly stand to stay in the meeting. She was not under conviction. She just couldn't stand the way Billy Graham preached. And so Billy Graham had to change his way of preaching before he could get Ruth Graham to marry him. I guess that's good motivation. I don't know. Sometimes we need to change. Sometimes we need to do it differently. And we need to be humble enough and honest enough and willing enough to take a different approach when another approach is the way to do it. How do you handle rejection you handle it with respect. Respect for yourself and respect for others. How do you handle rejection? You handle it with focus. With focus. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news." Jesus knew who He was. And He knew why He was here. And He knew where He was going. Now let me tell you, friends, if you know who you are, and you have your mission clear, and the destination is in your mind, rejection won't bother you at all. That's the stuff that plows you through, keeps you persevering, keeps you with patience, pushing on again and again and again, because you've got a focus. I love that phrase. And He walked right through the crowd. He could have cussed them out. I guess Jesus couldn't have done that. I would have. He could have given them a piece of His mind. He could have struck them dead. He could say, "Get behind me, Satan." He didn't do any of that. He walked through the crowd. Why? Because He knew who He was. He knew why He was here. He knew where He was going. And nothing was going to shift Him from that mission that He was about to accomplish. Martin Luther King Jr. said more than a generation ago, "We shall match your capacity to inflict suffering with our capacity to endure suffering. We shall meet physical force with soul force. Throw us in jail and we will still love you. Send your hooded preparators of violence into our community in the midnight hour and beat us until we're half dead. But we'll still love you. But be assured of this, we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. And one day we will win freedom. We'll win freedom not only for ourselves, we shall so appeal to your heart and your conscience, that we shall win you in the process, and our victory will be doubled. For love is the most durable power in the world." That kind of focus will get you through the rejections of life. "He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had a wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in." Amen.